when people pay good money in the theater, especially the male element, they want something to look at. If a girl isn't pretty like a Miss Atlantic City, all she gets in life is pity and a pat.
If a girl isn't pretty like a Miss Atlantic City, she should dump the stage and try another route. Any guy who pays a quarter for a seat just feels he oughter see a figure that his wife can't substitute. Kid, my heart ain't made of marble, but your rhythm's really horrible, and that nap of yours just ain't no valentine. Everything you got's about right, but the damn thing don't come out right. So forget it, kid, and just resign.
If a girl isn't pretty,
please remove it with a piece of cotton and some surgical lubricating jelly.
During sexual excitement, the body of the penis is much more rigid than the head of the penis, and that's perfectly normal.
Please remove it with... Please don't worry about an unwanted pregnancy.
My thighs were lacerated heavily. doctor took care of that, though. Thank God it wasn't a female nurse. Thank God I died in the crash. My ghost came to haunt you in a flash. Oh, the ghost of the man from the Candyland car crash. Oh, the sash is falling down upon his breast. Oh, he did his best to breathe, but he just couldn't. Oh, they sucked on his lips till his head turned blue. His ears turned purple and the sun turned green and the light went out of the moon. Car crash blues. Arriving dead in the morgue in the nude. Cold, cold morning hours. Oh, I didn't wear my best clothes to match yet. Oh, went through the thing down at the parlor and rest. What do they think? They found I had 9 pairs of underwear on.
Oh, yeah, this. My name is Madge Weinstein, and I'm a lesbian Jew. And I think you should go fuck yourself sometime. Maybe now. This is my theme song. I just woke up, can you tell? I know. It's hard to tell. All right. Did everyone have a happy Easter? Wait a second. I don't care. Jesus is dead. Who cares? I smelled rotten eggs yesterday, but I went to this most wonderful place. I don't remember the name of it. It's called Douche. I twitted it. It's like, it sounds like Douche is all I remember. And it's this waffle place, and they sell waffles. That they batter, well, first they yell at you, and they give you this 10-minute spiel, and then they make you taste 10 different kinds of gelato and all this shit. So I had this delicious waffle that was covered with 2 scoops of ice cream and fresh, real heavy whipped cream. How do you like that? Oh, I got a bloat. Oh, there's Gus. Hi, Gus. Wonder if I have a song for Gus. Do I have a song for the Gus? Go for the Gus. Gus, Gus, Gus. Yes, I do. I have a song just for Gus. My fucking shit would fucking work like a goddamn whore on a Thursday. That don't make no damn sense. Okay, how am I doing? The same as always, shitty. But thank you for asking, not really, like I care. All right, let's go. Okay, this is for Gus. Fuck me hard. God damn this fucking bullshit.
Gus is the cat at the theater door.
His name, as I ought to have told you before,
is really Asparagus.
But that's such a farce to pronounce that we usually call him just Gus. His coat's very shabby, he's thin as a rake, and he suffers from palsy that makes his paws shake. Yet he was, in his youth, quite the smartest of cats,
but no longer a terror to mice or to rats.
Please don't make fun of him at this time.
Sorry, Dr. Lizwood, I didn't mean that. It's just that Gus hasn't been here yet. Now, Antivir, the drug, is jealous because I didn't do a song for Antivir, right? Let me guess. Always needy, the Vera. Anyway, I'm really glad I can go back to drinking pear juice now that Lent is over. Okay. Pear juice is delicious. And I missed it over Lent. Okay. Now, I wanted to follow up on a technical thing before we talk about the important world. It's very quiet today. Like, half the people that are usually on Skype aren't there. I must have scared everybody away with all that share. Anyway, I have a vagina. Aunt B. Arthur's there and Aunt Vera Charles. I verified that Aunt B. Arthur is a real place. Price? Yeah, you have spring break. Meanwhile, Cheryl hides. Where the fuck is that bitch? Let's see. I'm going to text her. Because... Mark who? All right, what? That's a Mark who. I know who that is. Ah, what was I talking about? This is the auto worker guy. He's not, he designs cars or something. But he's not answering his phone. Let me guess, you don't have a microphone, Mark. Let me guess. Right, you don't have a microphone. I know it's hard to do. Yep. Douche. Anyway, okay, I'm going to send a text to Cheryl Prolapse. I wanted so badly not to do this program today because I was only slept 4 hours. I was working. I'm trying to fix QPotter, Nelligator, all these things. Nelligator.com and QPotter.com actually both work now. And Nelligator, if you don't know, you probably don't, is all the gay podcasts in one feed. That signed up on QPotter, there's at least 100, more like 200. And Fagregator is the same thing, but for video podcasts. And they both have URLs. Can I call you? Text me. Fuck. She's such a fucking bitch, this... I shouldn't care. But so longer a menace to mice or to rats. Are there any networking people out there? Oh, my huge audience. Probably half the size. And you can both... You can subscribe to... You couldn't figure it out. What's to figure out? It's just a feed, and then it has a button. To, you know, you go to the... You, if you press the feed button, you go to subscribe. Yes, they work now. Yeah, well, it's working now, you fucking asshole. Hello?
Hey.
Hi, Mark.
Are you Twinkies?
You sound a little overmodulated, but it's better than not having a microphone, I suppose. What are you doing? Masturbating? You sound very, very... Like you're breathing heavy. Mm-hmm. Mark, do you? What do you do with cars? You design them or what?
Yeah, parts of them.
What on earth are they doing making cars in America anymore? I thought they'd all move to my China.
It's starting.
Starting? Oh, you mean because they've been making them, they just haven't been designing them. Is that what you mean?
Correct.
Let's see if hold on a sec. Let's talk for a second. You're on the spot because I got to grab my phone.
Of course. I get here and he puts me on the spot. Getting this god awful feedback.
Where's my phone? Oh fuck.
So what's I finally get on this fucking show and she walks away from me.
She's such a fucking bitch. She's always fucking working. Are you there, Mark?
Yes, I'm still here.
Fucking bitch. Doesn't she have a spring break, this fucking whore? From Dick? Alright.
I don't get a spring break. I just get a day off. 4 days off.
I wanted to talk about Bears Turns. Do you know anything about this stuff?
No. That's I just know that they fucked up big time and went out of business.
Well, there's some really interesting things going on with relation to that. And it's much more to it than that. And I don't really understand the whole thing. But it basically, I got to find these articles. It's really, it's hard for me to understand because I really don't know enough about finance. And truthfully, I don't think anybody does, because that's the whole problem here. But what's happened is the Federal Reserve Bank intervened using this clause that hasn't been invoked from the Federal Reserve Act of, I think it's 1933. It hasn't been invoked since the Great Depression. And let me find this, because this is very interesting. I got to play with my vagina a little.
Well, one hand on the knob and the other hand someplace else.
Let's see. It's not China. It's not China. I don't see. How do you think it's China, Vera? I don't think it's China. Anyway. I don't think this one has to do with China. All of the tainted products. Right, that's right, Vera. You're such an intelligent woman. Your insights give me putter, whatever that means. Okay, let's see. Let me just...
I love Vera's insights.
You know, my friend Ludwig has that car that you did the video about,
the Jeep?
Mm-hmm. He has Wrangler? That same one. Yeah, that same one.
Except that one I had was a right-hand drive, and I'm sure he doesn't have one of those.
But you still did you still designed the sprinkler system, whatever that is, right?
I didn't know we put those on there. I'm glad you noticed that. That's something new.
I don't mean sprinkler system trim.
No, yes, correct. The interior portion. That's partly mine.
So what's new, Mark, from Detroit? While I find my
we're all trying to keep our jobs. We're all being forced on 2 weeks of vacation in July.
Seriously?
Yeah, they just announced it one morning, 6:50 in the morning. An email went out, says July, 2 weeks in July, you're all going to have a 2 week vacation.
Today?
You have to take your vacation those 2 weeks.
Today they announced this?
No, it was last week sometime. Would have been nice if they would have given everybody maybe a year's notice.
Do you get paid for this? No, I take it.
Yeah, it's part of your paid vacation.
Oh, but it's a forced vacation, but it's part of your paid vacation, so you don't get to schedule any other.
Correct.
Why did they do that?
I think GM and Ford are kind of doing
so they can go
already.
And have all the ching-chongs come in and then erase your plans.
Some people said they probably had the locks changed, so when we came back, we couldn't get back to our desks.
It's interesting because what many people have been talking about, and particularly Max and Stacy, is that that this has been affecting the NAFTA, all these trade agreements and all these sorts of things have been attacking the working people for years now, since the late 90s, and it's finally moving up to the middle class now. So people like you are being affected. You're a perfect example of that, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody right now, they keep cutting back, giving early retirements, letting people go, and there's hardly anybody left that can do the work. So they just pile more and more and more on.
Moron?
Moron, yes. Well, that's our leader.
At least you have a job for now. I'm kind of in the same situation, I suppose.
Yeah, I heard about that.
But so no longer a menace to mice.
They kind of said, you know what? We think your contract's expired.
No. They haven't said a single word to me. Oh. The only information I have is through ValleyWag. Seriously. I know about as much as anybody who reads ValleyWag, if not less.
Oh, so you get your news. You find out about your job like I do, through the newspaper, the media, and everything else.
Yep.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. It is. It shows a lot of respect for humans. Did you watch the 60 Minutes? They had a special about that seed bank in Norway. The doomsday
Volk. Oh, that was in the
paper.
Discover Magazine did an article on that, too.
Mm-hmm. Did they?
I think it was Discover or New Scientist. I don't know. We got a couple of those things around the house.
Okay. That's real cool. Even though Mr. Gross...
Those are plant seeds, right? Not.
That's correct. Not embryos.
Yeah.
Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
Yeah, just plants. It's basically the idea is if there's a major disaster that we can still have our agriculture back. This is an interesting. I'm going to read from this New York Times article briefly. I think it's important. I want to us, because I don't know enough about this sort of thing, and I can't have Max on all the time. I've been emailing him back and forth about this because I find this really... I want to understand how these voodoo economics work, and it makes Reagan's voodoo economic. It's not a segue into buying gold. Shut up, Vera.
No, I think I'd like listening to Max. I think he's got great insight on a lot
of
this stuff.
He does, but unfortunately, he's doing a documentary he's filming right now. Shit. But see, there's this other guy who I'm trying to call, and I don't know where his fucking Skype thing is. Oh, he's not online? Is that what it is? God. Oh, he gets like...
Don't you have just like three people on your Skype account anyway? Can't be that hard to find.
No. He's not on my account. This is a new person who I've never called. I can't find his fucking number. Stacy said in my emails, where's his fucking Skype? Let me look. Zapata George is his name. Zapata George. He's old. Okay. I have a vagina mark. Did you know that?
Yes, I know. I thought it broke and you had to throw it away.
Okay. Well, that was my vagina monologue just now. I hope you didn't miss it. I can't fucking find it. Zapata George, where the fuck is this Skype? You know what, let me look for him on Skype. Maybe he's just on here. I was trying to get Skype to work through the Windows and everything, because I think when you do the Windows with the Skype, it works more, better, more. I cannot fucking
through
talk.
Windows?
I swear, I'm not awake. It lets you put more people on there. Do you understand me? Am I making any sense at all? George. I feel like I'm talking to no one because I can't fucking...
You can't work, type, and talk at the same time?
No, I'm not making sense.
No, you never do.
Oh, good. Zapata George. Okay.
Zapata George.
Chris, can you go to Zapata George's site and find out his Skype address? He's got all this shit where he's selling stuff, and I just need to fucking talk to him. And he said... Of course, I did no show prep as usual. So, I don't know where.
Why would you change your method of
because
doing
things? You're on.
Oh, thank you. Hey, I got to talk to Chris Weagle for the first. Well, I actually chat with him for the first time. We're only like 30 miles away here.
You should get together and cry about
Detroit. We're going to. Oh, I don't know. We're going to do something.
Build a commune. I'll come over. I think it's commune time. We're all going to be in communes, except no more peace songs. That didn't work. We'll sing war songs.
I should
songs.
Hook up with Chris and drive out and visit you.
You could have a three-way with him and his girlfriend. That'd be kind of hot, wouldn't it, for you? Oh, no.
Sure.
Isn't your wife a doctor or something? I forget your story.
No, she's my girlfriend. Yes, she's... She's sleeping now. She's doing a residency in Pittsburgh.
Vera, shut up. You're starting to act like a flamer on my board. All right.
I like Auntie Vera.
I like her too, but I don't like when people fucking absorb the board by repeating themselves like a fucking Tourette's syndrome person. That's my job. I'm the one with Tourette's. All right. What was I doing? Zapata George. Get a nickname. Oh, yeah. For people that are on there and don't understand how this Shogram works, oh, who gives a shit?
You have to type /Nick in your name that you'd like to use.
Thank you.
Let's get that one out of the way.
That's right.
So basically, anybody that doesn't know what they're doing, just type /Nick and the word asshole.
Oh, my God. Vera is insane. Vera, are you hungover from the long weekend? I think Vera's fucking losing it. You're still sick.
Too much Easter candy? Rotten Easter eggs?
I'm sure she ate those disgusting Cadbury eggs. She's the type who would do that. Cadbury egg Vera, that's what they call her. Cadbury Vera. Let me see. I'm sorry, I know I was just like dead. I don't care. Where the fuck is the pot? His... Stacy, his technical details aren't on ZapataGeorge.com. It's just Zapata. Wanting me to sell all this shit, buy all this shit.
Yeah, Mexican gunfighter.
Yes.
A Greek Mexican.
That's right. You're so smart.
Zapata George.
George on YouTube. George on YouTube. Financial Sense. VLC Media Player. What the fuck? That's free. Oh, wait. What in the Christ is all this shit? He's got one of those. I hate these websites where it looks schizophrenic. You know, people that use lots of different colors that don't match. It always makes me think they're schizo.
So he's got a MySpace is what you're saying.
It looks like a MySpace, yeah. Did you? I'm sorry, I asked you a question. I don't think I answered to the answer. Your wife is a doctor, right?
She's my girlfriend, and she's
still your girlfriend. It's been 3 years now.
So what?
I think. Are you making a protest against gay marriage? Really?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah. No, she's got to finish her residency yet. She's doing that.
Oh, she's 12. Mm-hmm. All right.
She can give good proctological exams. Do you ever need your prostate? You wouldn't need your prostate
checked.
I
need my Skene's gland examined, but not by a woman.
She could do that. She could squeeze those for you and train them.
I feel uncomfortable when a woman massages my Skene's gland because it makes me erotic and I get wet. I really need a man to do it.
Oh.
I tried to get a new doctor the other day, but he was not accepting new patients. I have a month to find out if I have any fatal diseases and get them cured. Here's what I've kind of decided.
Because your health insurance from the U.S. goes to hell. Yeah, I know how that goes.
Well, here's what I've decided, MechMed Mark, is that instead of getting a job that has health care, because in order to do that, you have to suck cock in this country. So I'm just going to work freelance, get what I can from my audience, keep doing what I'm doing. And what we're going to have in Yeast Radio is something you've never really seen before. It's sort of like the cam girl equivalent of a healthcare crisis induced death. So you're going to watch me go off of antidepressants because I won't be able to afford them anymore. My mental state will completely deteriorate. And if you think I'm already insane, just wait.
I know exactly what that's like.
And then I won't be able to afford the mental hospital, of course, because they don't have insurance. So I'll probably end up going to the Reed State Mental Institution. And then they won't allow cameras, and then that'll be the end of the show. Next thing you know, you'll hear about me on the news, and you'll have forgotten about me. Americans don't have a memory. And
we can get Chris in there. Chris does videos, right?
He's
we can get him in there and do a documentary.
Yeah, if they let him in, I suppose. But how's he going to pay for that? You think he just can rode around?
Oh,
for
I'll
free?
Bring him down there. I'll drive him down. It'd be the rise and fall of a bloated lesbian.
Mostly the fall. I didn't see no fucking rise.
Yeah.
All right.
I can't think of anything for that one.
You haven't really been able to think of much on this phone call, but that's okay because it's good to have a dead pan. All right. Like Noah building his ark, this is from the New York Times. Like Noah building his ark and his thunderheads gathered. Bill Gross has spent the last 2 years anticipating the flood that swamped bear's turds about 10 days ago. As manager of the world's biggest bond fund and custodian of nearly $1 trillion in assets, think of how large that is, Mr. Gross amassed a cash hoard of $50 billion in case trading partners suddenly demanded payment from his firm, PIMCO. PIMCO. And every day for the last 3 weeks, he's blah, blah, blah. He's come in real early. Even though Mr. Gross, 63, is a market veteran who has lived through the collapse of other banks in the 1987, blah, 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 long-term capital management, he says the current crisis feels different in both size and significance. The Federal Reserve has not only taken action unprecedented since the Great Depression by lending money directly to major investment banks, but has also put taxpayers on the hook for billions of dollars in questionable trades the same bankers made when good times were rolling. Bear Stearns has made it obvious that some things have gone too far, says Gross, who plans to use some of his cash to bargain shop. The investment community has morphed into something beyond banks and something beyond regulation. We call it the shadow banking system. It is the private trading of complex instruments that lurk in the financial shadows that worries regulators in Wall Street. Okay, now what I want to go to next is, because like I said, I don't really understand this fully, but it's very important that we all do. So,
Andy Vera's dissing you here.
You know what? She can
She's
suck
dissing you down.
You know, I'm trying to help. I'm trying to help people like you from going broke so you can afford your bloated RV. So
she doesn't want to fucking listen to you. You're putting her to sleep.
Yeah, well, she can.
That's what she says on the thing here. I can't, you know.
I don't see where she says that. You're starting to make trouble. Where does it say she's going to sleep? Deep snore.
I don't know. Look on the other one of your 10 monitors you've got in front of you there.
Oh, I don't want to put her to sleep. I'll kick her off.
Don't.
All right, don't Vera, you have one last chance. I'm kicking your ass off. We don't need no fuck. I'm trying to help people. I'm not in the mood for this. Because, you know, what I do on this show is not just... Vera, why do you listen to this show if you don't like learning about the world? I mean, that's what I do here. In between.
That's why I listen to it, honestly.
I mean, seriously, why do you listen to the show? If you're not interested in politics, you're not interested in economics, you're not interested in what is it?
Because Andy Biz is an artist.
Because she loves me. Love, I don't have any room in my life for love. I'm too busy watching The View. Sorry. Anyway.
Oh, I see Andy Meltzer's here.
Good. All right, let me get to this, because I'm opening up in my Google. Try again in a little while, unable to open your data. Thanks, Google. That's Vera's fault.
I was looking at Andy Melton's Flickr page. I saw his whole family. They went out to eat at the Cracker Barrel for Easter.
Forget lower interest rates. For the Federal Reserve to keep the financial markets from imploding, it needs to buy troubled mortgage bonds from banks and securities firms, say the world's biggest treasury investors. At least I'm trying to figure out. So what it sounds like they're saying is that instead of just bailing out these huge banks, we need to bail out. Basically, what it's suggesting is that the U.S. government bail out by buying all these bad mortgages, and then we, the taxpayers, absorb the cost instead of getting health insurance. And this is what I find to be a particular scam. Like, I mean, it seems like the American government has like an endless supply of money for crap, you know, for war, you know, trillions of dollars. I mean, listen to these. I mean, I'm frustrated. Let's see. Even after cutting the rates by 3 percentage points in September, expanding the range of securities that accepts as collateral for loans and giving dealers access to the discount window, the Fed has been unable to promote confidence. The only tool left may be for the Fed to help facilitate a resolution trust corp type agency that would buy bonds backed by home loans, said Bill Gross. We just heard from him in another article. Manager of the world's biggest bond fund, Pacific Investment Management Company, while purchasing some of the $6 trillion mortgage. Now, think of these trillions they keep throwing around. I mean, the Iraq war in 5 years has only cost $3 trillion. And this is saying, while purchasing some of the $6 trillion mortgage securities outstanding, that would take problem debt off the balance sheets of banks and alleviate the cause of the credit crunch. The government should purchase the mortgages and reissue debt that is backed by U.S. government, and there you go, you've got unclogged the drain. But of course, that means more taxes, and no health insurance still. You know, but what Max is saying is that Max calls the implosion of Bear Stearns a controlled demolition, a way to sort of prop up the dollar by basically confiscating wealth the same way they did in the Depression. And this is the mechanism I really don't understand. But basically, let me find this other article about this. If you can't follow me, you can go fuck yourself. I don't care. Don't watch. There's only 15 people here anyway. The show, talk about imploding. This show's fucking imploding. You know? You want to do something nice for me? Get me somebody else to listen to the show who's actually interested. That would be helpful. All right. Let's see. You know, I turned on Ustream, and on the front page was this fucking rosary cast, I think they called it. Like, it's okay to put rosaries on there, religions that spew hate, but it's not okay to put a fucking lesbian who's trying to make the world a better place.
Well, lesbians that spew hate?
Right. Fuck you.
Okay.
All right, let's see. What a cunt this one is. Let's see. Oh, I thought I had my cough button on. Let's see. Max Stacy, Max Stacy. I'll blow it out your ass, Vera. Okay, let's see. 4,000 people killed. That's the government counts. That's nice. I thought we passed that. I love that we only count the people that of our people that got killed, even though we're the ones killing lots more than that. That makes sense. Isn't that great?
We don't keep track of those people.
We certainly don't.
They don't keep track of our people either, for that matter.
Why should they? All right, I got a phone call. I'm going to play it. It's probably from you.
The Bush admin can't.
Shut up.
Amen.
Quiet. I'm playing this. You can't hear it unless you play the simulcast. I'm playing a phone call.
Hey, meds. It's Blay Horowitz.
Oh.
I've been a little out of commission lately.
Blay Horowitz.
I've had some trouble with the internet, and I finally got back to where I was, and I...
Okay.
I had to elicit the troubles and the efforts of my nephew to dial your number, because I could not, on my BlackBerry, figure out how to dial the C-U-N-T.
But he
was able to search on the Google.
Please don't worry about it.
He found out.
Some men worry when they know.
You've got
this
to call me.
This, too, is perfectly
it's
normal.
Been a terrible
Please
year.
Remove it with a piece of cotton and some surgical lubricating jelly.
I have to see you.
What the fuck is Blay Horowitz talking about?
It's been so long back.
Please have intercourse
please.
More frequently so you can learn to relax.
Do you know what she's talking about? Mark, you can talk now.
Oh. First she tell me to shut up. Then you tell me to
talk.
Well,
that's because it's over. I was playing a clay up.
At home.
I was playing a clay up.
No, that's fine. Who are we talking about now? I'm not paying attention.
Blay Horowitz.
I can barely.
Hold on. Hello.
Sounds like a bad Cheryl.
Hello. Hello. Mark, are you there too?
I'm here. I see Chris is on.
He can't figure out his microphone. That's helpful. People suck. Blay Horowitz.
I thought he's the technical producer of your show. He should know this stuff.
Does that work?
Yeah,
there he is.
It works.
There, God damn it. Hey, I'm trying to co-host. Can you...
Who wants you co-host? You're trying to co-host? Oh, hold on. I haven't looked at the thing.
Yeah, make sure.
Oh, okay. Accept. Sorry, I didn't see that. Oh, there you are.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Push on air. Does
good.
Everybody see Chris?
Mark, hang on a second.
You see Chris?
Did it work? Hello? Is it there? Can you see me?
I see
Chris
you,
on,
yeah. But I think I hear you only through Skype, which is actually probably better.
That's what I set it up for, yeah.
Oh, you're so smart.
Does that work?
Oh, hell to the yeah, it does. I'm trying to figure out how we can both be on the stream, though.
We're going to change the format. We're going to do some tech advice, and Auntie Vera Charles asks, why would my external mouse suddenly stop working on my laptop?
Because she's fat, and it's probably the blubber is probably cutting off the circulation from the mouse wire. I like this new format.
Actually, I was really thinking, though, that maybe we should consider moving the showtime to sometime in the evening. I don't know if that fits with your schedule.
Hell
but
no,
thinking,
it doesn't.
It's my schedule.
Oh, I'm more. Why would I do that?
I don't know. We're down to 14 viewers, and we tend to have a good interaction and good audience when there are people around. But like I'm not going to be around full time in the day, but I'll be around in the night. And
I do things like I have to take care of myself at night. I don't sit around my computer at night.
Well, it's up to you.
It would have to be late, and I couldn't do it before like 11 o'clock, and I don't think 11 o'clock would be good. The thing is, I looked at some statistics that were collected by Podshow and various online statistics stuff from market research, and most people are actually watching. It's sort of like traditional radio in terms of audience size. I mean, most people watch streaming video around morning, between 8 and noon, so... We're not going to get any more audience.
Where the hell are they?
I hate to break it to you, but the reason there's no audience is because they don't like me.
They're all working at the jobs they're trying to keep.
You know what, Chris?
Well, your audience will get bigger when people get laid off.
I mean, this show sucks. Ask Vera. She'll tell you. All I do is talk about money and how the world, you know, and I try to talk about the state of the world and try to keep people from going broke, try to hammer through and chisel out their denial systems. And
I thought it was about vaginal leakage. I must have it wrong.
And infection.
Infection, yes.
That's been the foundation, though, of the entire show. Has been destitution, has been lack of attention, has been people out of work, semi-employed, underemployed, people looking for floors to sleep on.
I don't think people have any idea whatsoever of how huge this Bear Stearns crash was.
I know. It's
I mean, the impact of this thing is unprecedented. It's bigger than any crisis we've had since the Great Depression. It was huge, and this is what I wanted to mention. I mean, there was something like $500 trillion in these sort of speculative money things. I'm just clicking. I can't fucking work. I'm not. It's not work. Speculative. Thank you.
It's speculative. That's all speculation.
What did I call it?
Yeah, we almost had a depression here because of Bear Stearns.
No, we have one.
Well, Mark and I have been living through a depression now for coming up on a decade.
What the Fed is doing is trying to make the illusion, control the image, I think. Why am I not moving and you're moving?
I don't think maybe it's image, but I think it's more just they're protecting their own. And it's right in line with the whole philosophy of the Bush administration from day one is we care about our class and the people that help us financially and to hell with everybody else. And the rest of the country has been convinced that it's somehow incompetence on their part. Oh, they were so incompetent in Iraq, and they were incompetent in Katrina. No, they weren't. They just didn't give a shit. They gave a shit in so far as it helped them and their friends, but they don't care.
You know? Am I moving on your stream? Because I only see you moving. This is bizarre.
Yeah, you're moving.
Oh, that's weird. Oh, well. It must be just my stream. Because on my stream, just you're moving.
Aunt B. Arthur says, here too, Chris, we never recovered from the crash in 2000. I don't know where Aunt B. Arthur is.
She's in Nebraska.
I thought Aunt B. Arthur was in Mayberry.
Mayberry? No, Raleigh?
Raleigh, that's where I'm live.
Cleveland. Oh.
Oh, yeah, Ohio, yeah.
Okay, this is the article that I've been trying to find for the last hour as I click around watching Vera hate on me with love.
Matt, you get one hand out of your crotch.
Love and hate are very similar. Faster. All right. Okay. If the Fed had not stepped in, we would have had pandemonium, says James Melcher, president of the New York hedge fund and major American thief that was on 60 Minutes. I think that's the one that was on 60 Minutes. Let's see. Hold on a sec, cunt.
Major American thief. How many of them are there? I mean, they all rank up there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not. I don't make more than a few thousand dollars. I don't think I'm a major American thief.
No.
Let's see. Well, maybe I am. What do I have? Where's this fucking thing?
Maybe stealing our time here, but that's about it.
That's a donation. I can't find it. Okay, we may never know for sure whether the Federal Reserve's rescue of Bear Stearns averted a seizure of the $516 trillion derivative system, the ultimate Chernobyl for global finance. If the Fed had not stepped in, we would have had pandemonium. There was a risk of total meltdown at the beginning of last week. I don't think most people could have any idea how bad this chain could have been, and I'm still not sure the Fed can maintain the solvency of the U.S. banking system. All through early March, the frontline players had watched in horror as Bear Stearns came under assault and then shriveled into nothing as its $17 billion reserve cushion. We've been worried for a long time there would be nobody to pay on the other side of the contract, so we took profits early and got to get out of everything. The Greenspan policies that led to this have been the most irresponsible episode the world has ever seen. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke has moved with breathtaking speed to contain the crisis. Last Sunday night, he resorted to the nuclear option, invoking a Depression-era clause, Article 13.3 of the Federal Reserve Act, to be used in unusual and exigent circumstances. The Fed vote by five governors allows the Fed to shoulder $30 billion of direct credit risk from Bear Stearns, from the Bear Stearns carcass. By taking this course, the Fed has crossed the Rubicon of central banking. To understand why it has torn up the rule book, take a look at the latest Security and Exchange Commission filing. It contains, from Bear Stearns, it contains a short table listing the derivatives contracts. Okay, Bear Stearns had total positions. Now, this is amazing. Bear Stearns had total positions of $13.4 trillion. This is greater than the U.S. national income, or equal to a quarter of the world of GDP, at least in notional terms. The contracts were described as swaps, swaptions, caps, collars, and floors. This heady edifice of newfangled instruments was built on an asset base of $80 billion at best. So this kind of shows you, like, what this represents, at least as far as what I'm gathering, because, again, I understand so little of this, but I'm trying to make heads or tails of it. But this is why you're able to do nothing and have this beautiful house, and somebody in China has to work their ass off for 5 cents because of this, because of these over and overvalued pieces of shit and lies, and people buying into this weird system of lies and these contracts. Nobody knows what the fuck they are. So what's really scary is, okay, so Bear Stearns had total positions of $13.4 trillion, and now they're just gone. What they're saying is those $13.4 trillion in positions were really worth no more than $80 billion. Now, I don't know what the fuck that means, but it sure sounds like it's something big.
That means what we need is a revolution against the ruling class. Yeah. At this point, all of the protections that were put in place during the Depression under the New Deal, by and large, have been trampled, ignored, or outright repealed. And for whatever reason, whatever collection of reasons in this country, people at the bottom cannot get it together to realize and get angry enough and fight back. And so it's just going to keep happening. The people at the top are going to keep stepping on us, are going to keep treating us like shit, treating us like slaves. And I don't know. I don't know what to do. One of the problems I have around here, I as much as I possibly can with what little money I have, I try to shop local independent businesses. I go out of my way to buy American-made products and so on and so forth. It's very difficult, obviously. You can't do that completely, but I do what I can. I talk to people who nominally are liberal or progressive and themselves don't have much money, and yet we're in a position where, to them, it makes most sense to shop at Walmart because they can get the most stuff for their money. And they don't realize that by doing that, ultimately, you're cutting your own throat. It's a horrible trap to be in.
Chris, it seems like that the ruling class has pretty much got everybody oppressed to the point where we're so frustrated with, you know, trying to keep a job, raise a family, keep our houses. We don't have any fight left. Nobody's got any effort in there to go in and say, hey, wait a minute. We want to stand up for our rights, and we want all of this back again.
Well, it's funny.
You're
then
right.
Why do they have the fight to go into Iraq when they're paid, you know, to kill people and then have post-traumatic stress and kill babies at gunpoint? You know, where does that fight come from?
I don't know why there hasn't the anger. Let's put aside the 4,000 deaths of Americans and the probably 1 million Iraqis killed, and let's just take a look at the money that has been completely wasted on this bullshit war, and knowing that the vast majority of that money went into the pockets and bank accounts of contracting firms like Halliburton and so forth that literally don't do any of the work, that just then subcontract the work out and take the profit off it, that alone should make you want to just burn down the entire country. It is so obscene, utterly obscene. And I know that people are beaten down. I know that they're tired, and above all, they're terrified. I don't know. It just seems, even when I talk to people who've been directly affected, have lost their jobs around here, people that are struggling, they're still caught in the world of TV media bullshit and in a fantasy world. I point blank said to one of my friends whose life is, he's basically a slave. And I've said, you know, you're telling me stuff about Hillary and Obama and controversies on MSNBC and stuff. I said, why are you paying attention to this? There's so much more information you can get out there. Just look at your own life. Why are you wasting such energy on it? Is it because people's lives are so miserable that they have to distract themselves with something?
I made Andy Melton an operator in the first thing he did was kick off Antivira. Now she's going to think I did it.
Shouldn't the first thing
go
he's
Andy,
done is
go
fix
Andy.
The plumbing? We could talk about Andy's shit bucket and how it helped all this.
Andy said that. I got to go get water to flush the toilet. It's like, Andy, just go out and shit in the lake.
Why we haul don't a want bucket of water? The lake will overflow. Listen, though, but the
another flood in Tennessee.
I mean, like, you know? I think that this situation is a little different from the standard, you know, I'm going to ignore what's going on in Iraq thing, because that, you know, Iraq was hard to understand for the first maybe 2 years, but now I think everybody pretty much gets a handle on it.
No, I don't, man.
But
Ken,
I'm not
some
saying do.
Some people are starting to see the turn in Iraq and go, wait a minute, you know, it took this long. And what's really funny is you look, these are the people originally when the war started, let's get over there, we're going to kick these goddamn asses, you know, these fucking tall heads, on and on. And all of a sudden, you know, everybody else is saying, no, this is wrong, we shouldn't be doing this. Now these same people that were rabble-rousing are going, you know what, wait a minute, it's been 5 years and maybe this was a mistake. I'm like, oh, for God's sakes. The people just—they don't educate themselves. They don't read. They don't think.
Right.
They don't put stuff together.
But well, maybe you're right. But the thing is, like to me, that situation, like people have it. It's not too hard if they wanted to figure out what's going into Iraq and pay attention to it in the news. If they wanted to now, with this
they
financial,
want to watch Jerry Springer and that's
right, and be Vera and you know and spam people. But
yeah,
the But the thing is, this financial stuff is so convoluted, and so,
yeah.
And I mean, I've been trying to understand it for a while now, and it's crazy. I mean, listen to that sentence again. This is what I'm going to read it again.
I know. I didn't make any sense what you read to me. I know.
Bear Stearns had total positions of $13.4 trillion. This is greater than the U.S. national income, or a quarter of world GDP. But this bores Vera, at least in notional terms. The contracts were described as swaps, swaptions, caps, collars, and floors. This heady edifice of newfangled instruments was built on an asset base of $80 billion. Now, here's how Stacy described it to me. And I think it makes sense. Now, in the dot-com boom, I'm not saying this is happening now still in dot-com or anything like that. I'm not saying people are buying and selling traffic and making it look like they're making money when they're not.
Facebook being worth $15 billion is no indication of insanity.
But what they did at the height of or the bottom of the dot-com boom, depending on how you look at it, or bust, was the companies would sell banner ads to each other, and then they'd show their investors, okay, well, look, we sold all these banner ads. But then they'd go right back and buy the banner ads of the company they sold it to. So it was fake. And what Stacy describes, what Stacey was trying to explain is that this is analogous to that. So if anybody knows about economics, please call in.
Mark, I think the mayor's talking.
Oh, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, yeah.
Is the mayor in your house?
What happened, Madge, is the mayor of Detroit was indicted today on 12 counts of perjury and misconduct in office, and now he's making a statement. His lawyer is making a statement at the moment.
Sounds like he must be a Democrat.
It's going to boil down the fuck off. I'm staying in office.
He is.
Is he a Democrat?
He is. He's a Democrat, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's an idiot.
And who controls
the political part, it doesn't mean anything in Detroit, though.
The thing is, like, all these governors being, like, indicted. I mean, yes, like Governor Spitzer, that was ridiculous and very hypocritical. But people don't seem to be as outraged at the invasion of privacy, you know, undertaken by the feds, which are controlled by these judges that were put up completely illegally that nobody's fighting. But I think like you can tell me, well, I'm beating my head against the wall, which is the last thing Vera said before she got kicked off by Andy Melton, not me, was, you know, I could see where you could say that to some extent when you're just talking about the war and all this, even though I don't agree with it. But when the financial system, I'm trying to understand it, and I'm trying to, yes, he did kick you out, Vera. Don't let anyone tell you different. That was Andy. How did you get back in? See, if I had kicked you out, you wouldn't have been able to get back in, because when the show host kicks people out, it doesn't let them back in. It just bans their IP, like when you say twat. Maybe you said twat.
He's letting the power go to his head.
You know what, Vera? I know what it is. I know what it is, Vera. You didn't say twat. You were a twat. And there's artificial intelligence built in the Ustream that when somebody who's in the audience is being a twat, it actually can interpret that as twat and kick your ass out.
Twatiness.
But, you know, I'm just trying to understand this. And that's why I want to get a hold of Zapata George. And that's why I'm trying to get Stacy and Max on the show. I mean, they do understand this stuff. And it is confusing as hell. And people need to understand it because, I mean, this is not only affects... This affects you a lot more than the war. And I know Americans only care about them. But this affects your house. This affects whether or not you can have a house. I mean, this is big
stuff. No, I think both of them affect equally, though, because the war
is
a drain of money that could have been spent on any number of things. So now, there's an article here about Wall Street.
But this is more
culture.
Immediate and more direct, I think.
Wall Street culture not likely to change in the face of this collapse of Bear Stearns. And it says here, it seems there's little that will change in industry and a lifestyle attached to Wall Street, which is thought of by Americans as more than just the center of free market capitalism. Its culture attracts men and women with a swashbuckling mentality, smart, aggressive risk takers with the potential to become very rich. I don't think any of them are going to, there's not going to be any change of attitude. Enron exposed the rampant criminality, and I doubt anything's changed from that. I think it's just they said, oh, well, shit, we got caught. I don't think anyone's attitude has changed about the system. I don't think the system is going to shudder in any kind of way for the people that run that system, that run Wall Street. It's going to shudder for everybody else.
Oh, I think it will. I just don't understand it. But I don't see how it could not.
Well, for the people, she's kind of proving it right now. With she's going, I don't understand this. I can't. I got to ask Max and Stacy, and that's part of the problem. No offense, Madge, but the U.S. population tends to go, oh, this is too complicated. Oh, fuck! I'll just go change the channel. And
no, I know exactly. I agree with you, and that's what I was trying to say earlier.
Yeah,
but I'm trying
to
understand
down to the fourth grade level, and people will then stand up and go, hey, wait a minute, I'm getting shafted here.
Yeah, but you have to.
I think I understand the Mayor Kilpatrick stuff.
If I can get enough people to listen and I can explain it at a fourth grade level, it's better than them watching The View instead of this. You know, it's better than nothing is what I'm saying. I mean, I don't understand this stuff at a fourth grade level. I'd like to.
Rather see Lindsay Lohan's crotch than, you know, watch money be taken out of my bank account behind my back.
Okay, listen to this. But JP, this is from the Telegraph also. JP Morgan is already up to its neck in the soup with $77 trillion in contracts. It will now have $90 trillion on its books, a sixth of the global market. I mean, a sixth of, like, the entire universe is in the hands of J.P. Morgan, which is what Stacy called a white shoe firm. And Bear Stearns was basically not. They were more like a Jewish firm. Risk is being concentrated further. There are echoes of the old reinsurance chains at Lloyd's, but on a vaster scale. The most neuralgic niche is the $45 trillion market for credit default swaps. Credit default swaps. These CDS swaps are a way of betting on the credit quality of companies without having to buy the underlying bonds, which are less liquid. They have long been the béton noir of New York Fed, blah, blah, alarm that 10 banks make up 89% of these contracts. Now, what on earth does that mean? I mean, a credit default swaps? How do you... I've never understood hedge funds and all this crap. Like, how do you bet on something? Where does the money go? I mean... Okay, so I understand how it works. Like when you're in a horse track, so you bet, right? And you bet, and you know the money goes to the betting people to the racetrack, and they hold it for you. And all these people bet on a bunch of horses, and horse track. So they bet, and then the people that lost all that money goes to the house, and then the house pays off the winner, but they still make profit. So I don't understand how that translates into economics. I just don't get how that works. Credit default swaps? Betting on the credit quality of companies. I mean, how do you bet on the credit quality of a company? Is there like a horse race? I mean, this is just nonsense to me. How am I supposed to understand this?
Right.
And who's the house?
You're not supposed to understand it. I think it's designed so that only the specific few can understand it and profit off of it. And I think, I think it is as baseless as you're explaining that. It's rampant betting and gambling on a massive scale where really the people who are making the bets don't have any liability in it. At least that's the feeling I get.
Mindcaster's here. Mindcaster, don't you understand some of this stuff, don't you? I was Mancaster's Easter Bunny because he was doing one of those stupid Nokia streaming live things from Easter. And I was watching it on his website. He had like his mother and father there, and I think his brother. And they're like, oh, Easter. And I was like, you know, call them a whore. Tell her to get fucked on the thing. And he didn't respond. Did you? You didn't respond, though, to my niceties. It was just for the kids. Oh, oops.
Yeah, oops, life's for the kids.
Uh-oh.
I didn't think Jewish folks celebrated Easter.
We celebrate Easter, sure. Yeah, it's a great holiday. Yeah, Jesus rising, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lesbians celebrate anything related to eggs.
So. Eggs and chocolate.
And yeast.
Egg meat, says Gus. Welcome, Gus.
Anybody who appreciates egg meat is a friend of mine. Not many people do.
Dude 2008 says there's a wiki on credit default swap.
Can you link it?
Wiki. No, I'm just...
No, I know. I'm talking to him, not you.
Oh.
I'm saying, can Gus, whatever the fuck, dude, link it. How can a person be an egg? Well, he had little hands, little feet, and he can walk it all just like a person, only he was an egg, a little egg. So I asked Stacy, I said, Stacy, what do you mean Bear Stearns was taken down by the government? And she said, a blessing on your head, mazel tov, to see a daughter wed, mazel tov, they named him after my dear Uncle Mordechai, at the tail of Muttle Kanzoil. What woman is this?
Lancaster, today's topic is the Bear Stearns bailout and fire sale to J.P. Morgan, and I'll be right back. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Chris has got big business going there.
I'm so confused. I'm just trying to understand this thing, and I don't fucking get it. Oh, I got a message. I got an email from Cron. Work at Cron. Hi. Let's see if Nelly Gator is working still. So I've been babysitting Nelly Gator, mainly at the suggestion of Justin Feed. Let's see. And Fagregator. Yeah, they're both working. So if you want to subscribe to all the video casts, you go to Fagregator.com and you just click the feed button. And same with Nelligator for all the podcasts. I like the Fagregator better because it's easier to manage a feed of all the gay video casts because the podcasts are just so many. And if you're not on this list and you want to be, all you have to do is sign up at QPodder and put in all your information, particularly your feed address in the About Me page. But it has to be a valid feed or else it fucks the whole thing and then I have to delete it. Which is what I have to do for a lot of feeds because they have weird characters in them or something. I had to remove two of them yesterday alone. The fucking divorce cast, which I don't know how that's a gay one. There's a divorce cast that's listed on QPodder. Isn't that ironic? You can't get married, but you can have a divorce cast. A blessing on your head.
It could be like the gay breakup room or something. I first looked at Fagregator yesterday. I saw your link and I went there and I went, wow, that's pretty cool. I'll give you credit for that.
Thanks. Okay, Think Progress. In an upcoming book, Chile's ambassador to the UN writes, efforts by the Bush administration to cajole other countries into supporting the invasion of Iraq generated lasting bitterness and deep mistrust in Washington's relations with allies in Europe, Latin America, and elsewhere. Munoz describes how the rough-and-tumble diplomatic strategy employed by the Bush administration to pressure allies for support includes threats and punishment. Included threat and punishment. In the months leading up to the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq, the Bush administration threatened trade reprisals against friendly countries who withheld their support, spled on its allies and pressed for the recall of UN envoys that resisted U.S. pressure to endorse the war, according to an upcoming book. That's interesting. It gets thicker and thicker. In the aftermath of the invasion, allies loyal to the U.S. were rejected, mocked, and even punished for their refusal to back a UN resolution authorizing military action against Saddam Hussein's government.
What do you think of that?
What? What?
Oh, help.
All I heard was, and blah, 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 blah. What?
Yeah.
I can't even keep my brain exercised. I mean, it's getting dragged down by the rest of the country.
This is a rough day. Did Chris go away?
No, his video was on there.
I want his video to go away if he's not there because it's annoying me. Let's see. What the fuck is this?
He took a phone call.
Is he showing vaginas? If he shows porn, I don't want to watch porn. I don't want porn on my YouTube.
I think he's promoting his films, his human dog.
Oh, okay. I'll leave it on then. Fuck face.
Now he's back.
Mindcaster, why don't you... Can you call in, Mindcaster?
Yes, please. Somebody.
Check out the Iraq documentary, No One in Sight. Where do I get this? Where do I get this documentary? I'd like to see that. Is that a video iPod? I don't have a video iPod. I feel like I need one.
I don't either, Mitch, so we're not alone.
I need one. Let's see. Okay. Mark, yes, Skype, or I can even call your cell phone if you want, but it'll cost you $1,000. So the weird thing about Europe is they only, in Europe, you only pay for when you receive calls, and you pay a fucking ton. I think I'm going to stay in South America when I go there in May. I think I'm going to just fucking stay there. I have a friend who stayed there. The one I'm visiting in Ecuador, he just stayed there.
You mentioned something about getting kidnapped down there.
Chris, are you back on or not?
Fucking around with this video.
I'm going to take your video off until you're back because I can't work around this. The Willing Warrior hasn't lived in Chile in like 2.5 years. Oh my God, people try. Mindcaster. Okay, good.
Hey, Match.
Hi. Hang on 1 second. I have to dump someone. Let's see. Chris, I'm going to dump you since you're obviously not on. Chris, can you hang up the Skype?
He's promoting his site.
Well, he can stay on the video. Just get off the Skype. Can you kick
him off?
He's
a promo whore.
Whatever. Okay. Mark, I'm having... Yeah. I mean, the other Mark. I can't figure this Skype out. I'm going to hang up on both of them. Are you there, Mark? Do you understand any of this? You, yes. Do you understand any of this stuff with this economics and this... I mean, how could a company be worth, you know, $19 trillion in bonds and then, but really, in these weird derivative things that I don't know what they mean? Do you know what any of this shit means? And how is it really worth? Okay.
I've been reading up on that stuff because I wanted to know myself.
Okay.
You know, and I listen to Karma Bank all the time, but he jumps hoops all the time, so I have to look into them myself. But anyway, what it comes down to is that because of, you know, I read an interesting thing about how it's like 1929 all over. It's the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And it's all down to not having regulated that shit. Mm-hmm. And what they basically did was, okay, they offer a mortgage and they just kept reselling packages of that mortgage.
Right.
And
okay, and I know about that. Is that what this is?
This is basically what it started.
Okay.
And then you get the whole how the entire financial market works is that once one big financial institution goes, it is connected worldwide. And, you know, it starts in the U.S. and it goes down to the U.K. And the bottom line is that Europe has been feeding off this for decades. And they have never said anything about it. And they just profited themselves. But they were on the other end of the line, you know. So you saw a UK bank, an Australian bank go down. So that's basically what it really boils down to.
So in an example, explain how this works. So let's say I have a mortgage. Okay, I have a mortgage here on this place. Mm-hmm. And I made a mortgage with a bank called Harris Bank. Now, mm-hmm. a few months after I made that mortgage, then I started getting bills from a place called Dove & Mule. And they said, we bought your mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
So you're now, I mean, it's the same rate and everything. It's a 30-year fixed. So then, what are you saying that then that mortgage in often gets sold to other banks and other banks? Does the end user know it?
In little parts.
How?
That is how. It's, well, they, I forget the name of it, but they have these, they sort of sell the credit. Because, you know, the banks, they finance that against other equities, you know. They even, you know, they get loans on loans on loans. And the way they get their loans financed, as in mortgages get financed, is that they go to other sources. They have other investments. And to back that up, it's basically about collateral. You know, they give all these mortgages. And the way they back that up, and which is really, really bad, is that they, from like a decade ago, they started giving people with low income, well, actually, you know, they wouldn't be able to live up to payments any higher than, how do you say that? Let me not go down the rabbit hole. It's basically the banks that are financing the mortgages are refinancing it and offering it up to the market. And they do that in these special, you know, sort of, well, you call them stocks. You know, they offer up these stocks in mortgages. Uh-huh. You can relate to that.
Right. I understand that because I know somebody who is unable to access a lot of money because they said it's tied up in mortgages. But I don't understand that.
Yeah.
So
hold on. Yeah.
So can you give an analogy that's simpler?
Am I still there?
Yeah. Can you give?
Yeah, my AirPort is acting up sometimes, so I just wonder why you're still here. Okay.
Can you give a real world analogy that would be for simple people like me to understand?
That's hard.
Like Max uses the example that, you know, you're in a restaurant. A Starbucks, and you take a napkin from Starbucks, you say, this napkin is worth $100 million, and you sell it to somebody else, and they sell it for $110 million, and then they sell it for someone else for $120 million.
Yeah, it's sort of like IOUs, passing up IOUs.
But so it's completely obscene that it should be legal, right?
Well, that's when the regulations didn't kick in. As in, they got so greedy. And it was such easy money that they thought they could ride the rainbow forever. And because there was no regulations and you know, all the administrations said the market will regulate itself. And it didn't, of course. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly what happened in 1929. And it's what's happening now. And well, because it's the world is flat nowadays. So once America starts sneezing, you know, I mean, gets the cold, we start sneezing immediately. That's what happens with the Dutch in relation to Germany. We depend highly on the German economy. And once German economy goes down, we immediately get that. You know?
Do you mean down like down with OPP?
Yeah, sort of like that. You know, they cannot rock anyway, but you know what I mean. It's
Who's talking is Mindcaster. He does a video podcast in the Netherlands.
No, I don't really do anything, but
I just find it interesting that I have to have foreigners explain the U.S. economy to me.
The funniest thing is that, it's sort of sad, but the thing is, if there's something happening in the American economy, or there's a, there's something going on for 20 years in the States, and there's this system building up, and there's this economy is growing, and gradually you'll see, Europe getting on the bandwagon, trying the same things, trying to implement the same things of getting, you know, the easy stock and the easy investments and people borrowing money to invest in the stock market. Mm-hmm. That started happening 10 years ago.
Right, margin.
Yeah, and a few years ago, debt went belly up.
You know what? When I took economics, and the ridiculous thing is that I did study all this in college, but I was completely stoned. So I don't know any of it.
I understand.
But I took macro and microeconomics, and one of them, the very first lesson, and the person who taught, I don't remember if it was macro or micro, was the son of this guy, Kuznets, who invented GNP. Mm-hmm. And the first thing he told us is Tanztafel. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Basic rule of economics.
Mm-hmm.
So these people who are running our financial system, they must not be economists because they're not going by some basic economic principles. They must just be thieves.
I always suspect them of getting or of gathering in this lounge and start group thinking. just smoking each other's pipes.
You mean the chat room?
Who this country belong to? What do you mean?
I'd be happy to have Lady Reptile down here. Do you have her number?
The people, right. I'm going to smoke my pipe. Well, I find it amazing that there hasn't been more protest in the States. I know there has been a lot.
Protest of what?
People get fucked over.
We protest that we don't understand anything because we're too busy watching TV. I mean, how do you protest that? By driving to Ventura in your RV?
the example I pointed out about that scheme going belly up here as they try to implement that easy stock thing is that the people here organize all those victims of, well, let's just say, right, in the States with the subprime mortgages, people are saying, well, they were stupid to get into that anyway. Well, actually, those same stupid Dutch people who sort of went for that easy stock thing with borrowed money, they organized with tens of thousands of them, and eventually after 3 years they won the case and they were reimbursed by the bank, and that went belly up as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there is a point to doing something. So you can economically, you can organize yourself in the same way that, you know, Max has started that Coca-Cola boycott thing. Mm-hmm. Only this is more like to the point. As in, you get organized, you finance your lawyers, a good lawyer, or good lawyers, and you just fight them.
And spend your tax money on them.
Well, you know, the more people join, the more cost-effective it is. So.
Yeah, or you just buy other people's traffic, web traffic,
well, then
and sell it.
Then your name is Scoble, you know.
Uh-huh.
So what else can I say about it? It's just
Who's calling me, Weagle? Hold on. Why is there almost so much fucking noise in your room?
It's right next to the computer, the microphone. I'm sorry about that, Mitch. I got a phone call from my man in the field in Oklahoma.
And, you don't have got no man in the field in Oklahoma.
Yes, I do. He's in Lane, Oklahoma, and he told me that...
Bring FBI. We got another... What's that dude's name? McOyvey.
He was drug up to church yesterday, Easter Sunday, and he said for 15 minutes before the Easter sermon began, the preacher encouraged everyone there to support a local preacher who was getting a lot of flack for her anti-gay comments, and he had everyone in the church there pray for this woman and pray against the gays and against the homosexual agenda.
That's good. That helps.
Yeah, that's the focus of poor people in this country is gays. And I said, well, how many on average? How many gay people do you see in Oklahoma every day? And he said zero. I said none. So
call lips. Call lips.
So who's on here, Mindcaster?
I said call lips.
Hello.
And it's calling me.
Where are you?
That.
Amsterdam, dude.
Amsterdam.
I heard you say you were surprised that there aren't a lot of people protesting in this country about the financial situation.
I'm surprised that they aren't.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm surprised.
You know what? It's funny because somebody mentioned Britney Spears, and I thought of all the like mainstream media to sort of come up with it to sort of deconstruct this situation as a whole. You know who I thought did the best job of it was South Park on their Britney Spears episode. You know, and that's pathetic because that is, that's fucking pathetic. You know, you have all these news shows, you've got Anderson Cooper's 369 and everything. And the people that make sense out of it all to the point where an American can understand it is South Park, a cartoon with construction paper. Not even a good cartoon.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Have you watched Fox News lately or Fox and Friends? Have you seen that last week?
I saw a one clip online of Fox and Friends, but I don't have Fox News on my cable, and I don't watch TV anyway. So I didn't.
Well, it's the same thing for me. I don't have TV either, but I watched that. And
you're both cool.
There was Chris Wallace, that fucking turd, came on to defend the coverage of Obama, of the speech of Obama.
No, he was overturning it, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was overturning. He was sort of defending the fact that they were just cherry picking lines from his speech, and they were so tangled up in it, they were so confused that one of them walked off the stage. Live.
Well, I saw that guy walk off, but I thought that was like he was doing a joke. I don't think a lot of people online thought, oh, he was walking off because even he was disgusted.
Who walked off?
One of the news anchors walked off of the show, but I think he was walking off to like as sort of a punctuation of what they were talking about. I don't think he was seriously outraged about their commentary on Obama. It was a male.
I know what it was about. He tried to make a point of how racism had changed over the last century in America. It was different in the 20s, was different in the 40s, was different in the 60s, and it is different now. Well, he actually tried to make a historical reference, and it was a nice attempt, but he was so misunderstood, and he was like a little kid, and he just he couldn't get his point across, and he felt ridiculed by Chris Wallace, and the guy had no skin. And, you know, it's Fox and Friends. You know, it's not like
no friends.
Like that blonde girl on there. She's so fucking dumb. It's incredible.
She was a robot.
Ann Curry, huh?
Oh, Adam Curry. Well, he could be on there.
Ann Curry, isn't that her name?
Oh, I don't know.
No, that brings up an interesting point that I wanted to talk about, which is the fact that you know, they made such a big deal about Obama's friendship with this preacher, and who, as I understood, CNN recently, like yesterday, ran the whole tape of the sermon in question, and it put it all into context. But they don't criticize the did we already talk about this? But they don't criticize like McCain's preacher and all these other crazy people and all these, you know, these crazy religions that hate everyone and that are okay with war and that, you know, but as soon as somebody questions, you know, American patriotism and what that really means, they're like fucked up the butt. I don't know.
I find it still amazing how there's no room for reason whatsoever. It's like one
none.
Big none.
No, well, I think it's the media, as far as like CNN, the media, I think it's designed
they think
that
children.
Way. No, it's designed that way. They make more money with more salacious stuff. Plus, the people that have something to lose as far as information getting out don't want them to cover it. So it's a win-win for both of them. What they should have done, and they'll never do, is have that preacher on CNN for a full hour and ask him questions about all of his points and let him explain himself. But they'll never do that. That's never going to happen in this country.
Right.
No, that way they cannot ride the waves for so long. Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Whatever. I was hoping... I feel like I'm going on the show until it gets interesting, but I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Don't be so hard on yourself, Madge. So what's this talk about you traveling south?
Yeah, I'm going to three countries in South America in May. I'm going to Ecuador, Peru, and Colombia.
Oh, nice.
I'm planning to be abducted by FARC rebels and have my head chopped off. You want to buy it? They're calling me. They're going to do a play called, instead of a spoof of Salome, it's going to be called Salami. I mean, it's about how they, you know, the FARC asks for my head on a platter and they do the dance of the seven veils. And salami. Hmm.
Sounds like good content.
Yeah.
When are you leaving?
Like May 1st.
Good. Well, I hope you'll be able to broadcast some of it.
It doesn't sound like the places I'm going have too much internet. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
But regardless, I will record it.
Good.
Oh, by the way, I have a tech question for somebody. I need to do what I do now on a laptop, and I don't know how. So I need to be able to record Skype. I guess I don't know if Audio can Hijack can do this or not. I have a Mac, you dumb fuck.
Are you talking about doing this when you go to South America? You're taking the laptop?
Yeah. Well,
are you gonna be able to do this live show? I mean, take.
No, but when I'm in Florida, I will, because I'm not just going there. So I tried to, people are so goddamn dumb. No wonder I don't get a new audience. They're fucking stupid.
See, I don't know, you could stream it live, but, are you using an external mixer to put all this together and, you know... I mean, I don't know. Are you doing it all on software?
I'm using multiple inputs and outputs using a Motu device. So I'm using a separate audio interface, and I need to use the. I love when people are on my show asking like about other shows. Yes, Chris, why don't you just do this show from now on while I get my head chopped off and put on Salami's plate? Good Lord.
Imagine going to South America. Okay, Rick, fucking email me, Rick. This man is just talking.
You can also instant message on this. There's a way to do instant message.
Madge, you were talking about finding software for your laptop to do the show from... You're going to Columbia?
I need to be able to do what I do and just fucking record it. And I can't fucking talk anymore. Who cares? I won't do it. I don't care. I guess I can do it this way, but other people have to co-host through Ustream. That'll work. So if anybody wants to co-host, they can get on Ustream. How did you do it, Chris? Was it hard?
Somehow it's working. You set the option for join as co-host. That just pops up on the screen on your video, and then you click...
like it does now, yeah.
So I imagine you probably have to go into your Flash settings and make sure that it's set up for... Or that your video settings are set up properly.
Well, it pops. It brings that window up when you hit OK. And
yeah,
then,
but some people didn't get it. You're the only one that's been able to do it successfully, I think. Or maybe Mark was.
Mark.
Let's try it. Here's another Mark. Oh, Griselda? Yeah, but you're all smart people, though. I have a lot of dumb people around. Let's see.
Jennifer from Blog TV did it, and she has a breathing problem.
No, she's the host. She's not the co-host.
Oh, right.
Mark, I'm trying to... I'm clicking your thing, but I don't see it. Let's see. I don't see it. Push on air. Push back in. Mark? It ain't working, Mark. Mark, I'm not answering your call because we're winding up, and we had you on for a while, and you were fascinating, but I can't. I'm trying to wind down, not up. But the other thing is I wanted to talk technology, and Chris, this is interest you about this compressor thing. I want to follow up and see if anybody who knows networking can answer this. I was able to sort of make headway in this compressor problem. What I found is that when all my computers that are connected to each other in this compressor chain are disconnected from the internet, it works, at least sometimes.
Okay.
So, and even if the computer is like alone, if it's connected to the internet, like not connected to any other computers, but it is connected to the internet, QMaster and compressor won't work. As soon as I disconnect the internet, it works fine. And I have no idea why that is or how to fix it, but I've been able to repeat that pretty consistently.
So that just disconnect from the internet.
Oh, my God.
Which makes no sense.
People are so rude. Well, why are you listening then? Because you're dumb? People are awful.
But you ban. Even pay attention to that
I had
shit.
A ban. I just don't need that. Ban, ban, ban. Ban, ban, ban. Ban, ban, ban.
Blah, blah, blah.
I'm going to sit.
Not every show can be about Cher and Ally My Vagina. I wish it could, but I just can't.
I'm going to set this up for the wrap-up show, and I'm just going to read something in the wrap-up show and then hang up because I have to go do things today.
I'm going to go back to sleep. I only got 4 hours. I'm fucking, I know it doesn't show.
It does, Madge. It does.
That's the problem with the scheduled shows. Maybe I should just do it when I feel like it. And just Twitter it. Because, see, that's what I haven't been doing. I haven't been Twittering when I'm online. So I think if I do the show whenever the fuck I want to and Twitter it, I'll probably just get the same amount of audience. Certainly can't be any less, could it?
I don't know. I think you should move to the evening, but that's my...
Yeah, but I do stuff in the evening. What am I going to do, give up my life? You know, the things I actually enjoy in life? So that no, I can do this stupid show and sit here and stink?
You could do the show for a half hour, though. You could do it for 40 minutes and then just cut yourself off.
Yeah, but the thing is, generally, I go out for the evening, and I don't come back till, like, 10 or 11. And, like, when I talk to you online, it's usually when I'm out at a coffee shop or something. So I wouldn't be able to do it till late at night, and I really don't think that there would be an audience at that time. We could try it.
Then don't do it. That's... You know,
and the other thing is then, the reason I like doing it at the set time is it does give me some schedule.
Right.
And there's no... You know, Chris, for 3 years I've been trying to get more audience, and nothing works. Yeah. I've had national press coverage. I've been on USA Today, international and domestic. Yeah. I've had my cover on the local Chicago newspaper, the big ones, the arts paper, all that stuff.
All the gay papers.
None of it gave me a sync... No, none of the gay papers. None of the gay paper. But none of it has given me a single listener. People either listen to this crap or they don't. And the funny thing is, like, okay, so there's this shameless douchebags get a lot of audience. And there's this one shameless douchebag named Chris Perillo. Now, Chris...
Ooh.
Chris is one of these people. He's basically one of these types of people Stacey was talking about, where he just creates traffic. He scams the internet. He goes through internet loopholes and he gets traffic, and he basically rips off advertisers.
Wait, so Stacey is wasting time talking about this? Wait, what?
No, Stacey was talking about the people that trade, that like was making that analogy to the economic problems we're having by making the analogy to the people in the .com bust who would buy and sell banner ads and sort of make... you know, traffic up.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So the thing is, I feel like that 60 Minutes show about sleep deprivation. Like, hello, hello, penis and vagina. But what Chris Perillo does is he like has a Ustream that at any given time has about 400 or 500 users. Now, I was looking, researching stuff about QMaster or something the other day, and one of the links went to his site. Some old blog post, which sometimes happens. And as soon as I went to the blog post, like all these ads come jumping out at me, like a porno site. And then in the upper right-hand corner, I swear to God, is a video, a Ustream video, which I had no choice in turning on, of him in front of his computer with a picture of himself, not only on the blog, but on the back of his computer, while he's sitting there with his back to the camera watching Lost.
Right.
And then he just turns every once in a while, turns to the other screen to see how many people are watching. Now,
so
that's,
isn't that what that Justin TV is? I don't know what it is. Maybe
I don't know what Justin TV is, but this is basically fraud. I mean, you're basically, you know, are those people really watching you? No, they're not. My audience, my 20 people are really watching me. That much I know.
Well, then you should leave it on. Aim it at like a picture on the wall or something, or aim it at Trotsky. Just.
The problem is, Chris,
is
the problem that you got some sort of a gig that you have to be out at that day.
Right.
That's, so it's all basically for you, right?
Yeah.
What's the gig?
Wait, are you asking me? You're talking about you. I thought you said you had to go out.
No, you. It sounds like you are going to be busy during this showtime, so you need it. So you want me to change
probably
it just for you.
Probably starting in mid-April, I'll be busy, probably till like 1 p.m.
See? So you want me to change the whole show.
No, but I've also been thinking, I think there's a lot more people. I think there's more people at home. At work, there's, we've gotten a few people at work watching the show, but I don't know, it's only like 4 or 5.
What do you think, Bicycle, whatever your name is, turd?
Mindcaster.
Yeah. I don't watch it from work, even though I could.
I don't know. I think you should go back to a limit. A set limit of time and schedule it for the evening and see what happens. But I don't know. Do whatever. It's your show. Do what you think is right.
My glasses just fogged up.
Oh, goodness.
Because you're watching me play with my clit?
Oh, yeah. No, you can never please anybody with your scheduled show. It's tough. Well, you won't lose Europe. There are a lot of night owls here.
And your people in Europe are more interesting, honestly.
You think?
Well, they certainly have more to say. I mean, you're there, Max is there, Stacy's there. I mean, people in America just want to, all they want to do is fucking, you know, be douches. Well, sorry, America, but you're stupid.
Well, they're catching up over here. Everybody's jumping on the bandwagon.
Okay, let me play a song I want to end with, and then I'm going to go, thanks, gentlemen. And her right. Gentlemen and hermaphrodites of the jury. Here's, I'm going to go, let's see. Let's see, let's get out of that. And then I'm going to, not that, no, not that. Where is it? It's a short song. Here we go. And then I say, turd you.
Big business monkey. Nothing's funny. Big business monkey. Everything's money. You sold cheeseburger with that cashier smile. He runs his house like a Burger King manager. And the only jokes he knows are the ones that'll put you down. Big business monkey, you'll take over the world. And you can have it now, but you can't take it with you. And everything you cling to will rot. And everything you do will be forgot by everyone you ever tried to impress.
Just blot that area. Don't rub or irritate it.
Sign off. And we're going to all feel better about it. This has nothing to do with Yeast Radio. This is published by Glenn Greenwald on Salon.com, and he was writing about the right-wing reaction to Barack Obama and the preacher and so on and so forth. What Glenn has done is that he has quoted from a right-wing blogger, the very popular Instapundit, who in turn was pointing to one of his favorite blogs, a right-wing website called Instapunk. This is what Instapunk has written about the Obama and Reverend Wright situation. I'm going to read it to you because I think it represents what a lot of white males feel in this country to this day, whether or not they say it out loud, and I think it'll affect I think it'll affect the Democrats in November. I think basically either way, I think the Democrats have already lost. So here it is for the five of us watching. This is what the right-wing blogger Instapunk wrote. On the other hand, I am sick to death of black people as a group. The truth, that is part of the conversation Obama is asking for, isn't it? He goes on to say, I live in an eastern state, almost exactly on the fabled Mason-Dixon line. Every day I see young black males wearing t-shirts down to their knees and jeans belted just above their knees. I'm an old guy. I want to smack them, all of them. They are egregious stereotypes. It's impossible not to think the unthinkable N-word when they roll up beside you at a stoplight in their trashed old Hondas with 19-inch spinner wheels and rap recordings that shake the foundations of the buildings. There's more. It's really interesting that those are his gripes, are clothing style and his what he considers to be an ugly car and loud music. Okay, here we go. And he goes on to say, "Here's the dirty secret all of us know and no one will admit to. There are niggers. Black people know it, white people know it, and only black people are allowed to notice and pronounce the truth of it. Which would be fine, except that black people are not a community, but a political party. They can squabble with each other in caucus, but they absolutely refuse to speak the truth in public. And this is the single biggest obstacle to healing the racial divide in this country." Now, what kind of delusional thinking writes something like that? That's the problem. That's the single biggest problem in bridging the racial divide. He goes on to say, "I'm not proposing the generalized use of the term, just trying to be clear for once in the wake of Obama's call for us to have a dialogue about race. However much they..." This guy's writing this as like serious political discourse. And it is, to a lot of white people in this country, this is what's going on in their minds, in particular the city and state that I'm from. I know it may be hard to believe to a lot of listeners of Yeast Radio around the country, around the world, but McCain has a very good chance of taking Michigan in the general election and probably winning. These are the people that most concern this right-wing blogger Instapunk. Jeremiah Wright, the preacher, O.J. Simpson, Marion Barry, Allen Iverson, William Jefferson, Louis Farrakhan, and Mike Tyson. As if the vast majority of those people have absolutely no power or bearing in this country or just marginal figures. You see, he goes on to say, "You've just given life to the suspicion that black people in America are and have been and have long been a fifth column." Here, see, he's revealing what a lot of white people in this country think, that black people are terrorists waiting to be unleashed and awaken and destroy the country. Unanimously hating the very country that has afforded the highest standard of living ever achieved by black people in human history. And that's another right-wing myth, that Americans have the highest standard of living for people of any race, which a lot of Western Europe and Scandinavia automatically disprove. Hell, a lot of what people in Canada, the way they live their lives, automatically disproves. But right-wingers believe this. He goes on to say, "We're teetering at the edge of believing that you're a secret society, a massive collection of sleeper cells just waiting for your chance to do serious harm to the rest of us. You've made it possible for us to believe that, because you're never outraged by what the worst black people do, because you continue to make excuses for what should be inexcusable to everyone." Now that kind of insane racism, insane thinking, insane generalization, complete and utter ignorance and fear, I think is not... I don't think it's limited. I don't think it's as limited to conservatives or as small and in the minority as a lot of urban liberals think, or a lot of Obama supporters, even a lot of Hillary supporters in this country think. And unfortunately, I think that this right situation and the thing with Obama's wife, Michelle, I don't think that's going to be let go of. I think they're going to hammer on that until November. And I think McCain's going to get in the White House. I think he's going to have control over appointing at least two Supreme Court justices. And it wouldn't surprise me if Iran is attacked. And on that uplifting note, if you'd like to find Glenn Greenwald's column on this, you can see it at salon.com. Madge Weinstein, 11 a.m. Central Time. And everyone, please go out. Easter candy is probably going to be at least 50% off today. Enjoy your day.